Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kaylin Lend Me Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation and opportunity in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Hello, this is your hostess, Phaedra Chantel, and coming to you from the finally nice and warm city of Chicago. It's amazing what a week can do. I would like to introduce my partner in crime, Kaylin, who will be coming in and out today. We've got another special guest, just as special as they all come. We're very, very honored and welcome to have Susan Clark here with us today. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hi, Phaedra. I'm great. It's great to be on the show.
Yay. We're excited. Well, we're excited to hear your story, and I know a little bit about what's been going on. So it's one of those stories that you hate to hear it happen, but we're so excited that it's come to where it's come. So we're going to kind of start. Sue Clark has been a figure competitor with the INBA for 2 years now? Have you been competing
right.
2 years?
Yep.
Perfect. So we're going to start, like we did last week with Carrie, we're going to start a little bit from the beginning, because with anyone with certain conditions, that does not define the person. The person, you know, begins as someone completely different. They have a few obstacles and makes them a little bit, or a lot of it, who they are today. So, Sue, if you can kind of give us a little bit of background, where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in the western suburbs of Chicago in the Hinsdale area. Small family, just my brother and I, and my mom and dad come from a family of medical practitioners, so I'm the only one that didn't go down that road. My father's a cardiologist, my brother's a gastroenterologist, and my mother's a registered nurse. So
black sheep, you.
Following the family work, right.
so what is it that you actually do?
I'm actually a sales director for a media company. I work for Dex Media, so we sell print and online advertising. Actually been with the same company for over 25 years, so it's been an incredible career, even though I didn't go into medicine. I built my own career, so I got my own thing going on. So
There's always a black sheep in family. Exactly.
So, I mean, growing up, I was a super active kid, you know, always rode my bike everywhere, playing, you know, at the park until, you know, after dark and getting yelled at, and got into gymnastics at an early age. And then I got into dance, a lot of, you know, classical ballet dancing, and really did that all the way through high school. So really thinking of exercise, it wasn't even on my radar because I was just always running around and doing my activities and, you know, just a bundle of energy and, you know, loved every second of it.
That's awesome. So I was going to ask you when fitness actually became important to you, but it sounds like it's just been you. You had that going for you from the beginning.
Yeah, I was just always active. And then when I went to college, you know, things really change. You're dealing with dorm food, you know, high starch, and night as you're studying. You know, not a lot of activity. You know, I certainly wasn't dancing anymore. Wasn't doing any of the gymnastics. And, you know, like I said, I had never been in a gym or really thought of exercise. in its traditional form before, because I was just always, you know, engaged in physical activities. So I went to college and really had that shift in just my way of life and, you know, that whole freshman 15 phenomena. Let me just tell you, that's real.
Oh, yes.
That's real.
And what do you think it's just the food? I didn't go away to college, but I did have a lot of friends that went away, and it's kind of hit or miss, but I mean, I know by attending some of the extracurricular activities that will do it.
Yes.
So,
extracurricular, yeah. It's, you know, just the high starch food. I mean, I grew up in a family of doctors and nurses, and my mom put really healthy, clean food on the table that I never appreciated until I didn't have it anymore.
Right,
so, and then
right.
My body certainly responded in a very negative way to, you know, what I was eating. And, you know, when you've never really thought about weight as an issue or had to even have that on your radar, then all of a sudden you really are contemplating it and you don't feel good about yourself. That's a whole different phenomenon.
Don't feel it either.
Absolutely. I can imagine. So was that when you saw that? Did you like come home and...
Yeah, I just didn't feel good about myself. And, you know, that was the time when we were wearing the big oversized sweaters that hit everything.
Uh-huh.
So I hit everything for a while. But I have a pretty small frame.
Yep.
Even 15 pounds, I mean, it doesn't look good on me. So
yes.
I mean, let's just say it wasn't 15 pounds of muscle. That would look good.
Right.
So, you know, I had to learn what do I need to do to get in control of this, because I'm not feeling good about this. I've never dealt with it. So let's attack this right now. And so, I mean, it was the 80s. So that was, you know, Jane Fonda, Feel the Burn videos. Did a lot of those. You know, it was aerobics. I'm a little embarrassed to say all of this right now. But that's
it's
what
not,
I'm saying.
Well,
no Richard
no.
Simmons, though, right? No Richard Simmons.
Right. No, there
yeah.
might have been a little bit of that, too. But, you know, that's what everybody
did.
And I didn't know any, you know, I didn't know anything else. But I will tell you that it worked, because, you know, my body had never been through any of that kind of training. So it responded. You know, you get those kind of rookie gains to whatever you do that's new.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was obviously more mindful about what I was eating as well. So the weight quickly came off and then some.
Right.
And that was like literally my first step into the world of really contemplating exercise and physical fitness, you know, in and of itself, versus it being a byproduct of just having an active childhood and being involved in a lot of activities and interests.
Okay. Were you having fun with like all these? Because you talk about, and I'm going to tangent a little bit, because I'm sure there's plenty of listeners out there that are like, I remember. I mean, I know as a little girl, I remember watching my mom and working out with her to those videos and Body Electric on PBS or whatever that channel was.
Yep.
And so I remember all that. And you can kind of, it's a parallel today. We've got, and Jazzercise is big too. So parallelistically, we've got, you know, today we've got our, Zumba, and we've got stuff is still pretty big. We've got all these different classes, things like that, and it makes you feel good. Those things, the Jane Fonda, who would be now the woman from The Biggest Loser,
Jillian Michaels,
the same thing.
There you go.
It's like so it's a but it makes you feel good, and it was so in
right.
you know in 20 years or whatever when people look back, they're like, oh, I did that Zumba, that goofy stuff, but it works. Like you said, you get into a program, and that's at the beginning of anyone's program. It being fun and having that aspect to look forward to is very important.
I mean, we all have to start somewhere, right? So often it's in our own homes or dorm rooms or whatever with a video, and that kind of is your first exposure, and you start to see some good positive results from it. And so then maybe you venture out into a group class, you know, and then you really like that, and you want to, you know, start taking it further. And so, I mean, it all has to start somewhere, and that was a great starting point for me. And, you know, those videos, then there was the kickboxing, the Taibo. I forget that guy's name.
Yeah.
That was big.
Billy Blaine.
So I did that. I mean, I've got a whole box of these videos just for nostalgic purposes that I keep around, you know. But I went through all of that. It was great because I could do it on my own time, you know, very little cost investment, and it exposed me to a broad range of different workout styles, you know. So that then led me to the gym where I did a lot of group classes. Like I said, back in those days, it was a lot of step aerobics and just aerobic-oriented classes, and I did a ton of that. And then when I turned 30...
Because women didn't want to bulk back then.
Right.
Women didn't want to bulk.
a weight. I'd never been in a free weight room. That was like scary territory for me. But then I just thought when I turned 30, I really want to try, I want to switch this up and I want to see what strength training is all about. And I hired a trainer because I had no idea what I was doing. Trained with him 3 times a week for like a year. And I literally saw my body transform like week in and week out. I would see changes. People would pull me aside. They couldn't believe it, you know, and I just addicted because I felt so strong. I felt like a whole different person, and I could see the changes progressively as I, you know, kept working towards my goals. And it just was just a really empowering process, and I just felt really strong, really confident, and, you know, really proud of sort of the body that I was creating. And so, and I guess it became less about losing weight, you know, as really becoming this powerful person that I was seeing was inside of me that I didn't even realize. So it's kind of like it all sort of switched at that point for me.
Yeah, that's pretty profound, and I think that happens with a lot of men and women is like you go in and you're just expecting to be like, all right, I just want to feel a little bit better, and it's not just feeling better, it's seeing the difference, and then feeling like even when you like touch yourself, like you put your clothes on and like, you know, you're in the shower, whatever it is, you're like, gosh, I like those shoulders, and I kind of like my booty. It's like a totally different, like, thing. So, you know what I'm talking about.
And you don't get that with, like, cardio, you know, you're not changing your body composition truly. You
not
know, you
all.
Might be getting a little smaller, you know, if you need to lose weight, but it's, you know.
Great
it's,
heart rate.
Yeah. And it's good to be, you know, healthy inside and out. So cardiovascular fitness is important, and I'm not minimizing that.
Yes.
But it's not the end-all, be-all. And so I spent a lot of time doing mindless cardio and cardio machines. You know, class is sort of like on this road to nowhere. And, you know, so when I started strength training, it just felt like just it was a whole new world. And I just became addicted. I mean, I just wanted to learn more. I was insatiable. I've been at the gym every day for, you know, a good 20 years now. I just can't get enough.
Yeah.
I love the energy.
Right?
I love learning, you know, but when you're so into it, you constantly need to kind of expose yourself to new things, but avoiding the gimmick. So I went through my phase of, I did CrossFit before CrossFit was big and, you know.
Right. I think we all have.
Sort of break down the body, and, you know, that might not be a real sustainable, and it's not a customized program for me, but I learned a lot. I learned about intense training and Olympic lifting and deadlifting, so it was absolutely valuable. It just couldn't be very long-lived because I felt like it would just break down my body too much. So then I moved into, like, high-intensity interval training before that was the big thing and just absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Endurance machine, and like just more lean than I've probably too lean, and suffered some injuries because of that. Caused myself a stress fracture of the hip from too much plyometric training, you know, and learned a lesson about just respecting the limitations of your body and you know, paying attention and switching gears when you need to. So that's really when I started thinking, you know, I want to put more muscle on. I want to become stronger. And so that's when I kind of flipped the switch back into a really, you know, heavy duty strength protocol. But I knew that I was limited by my own knowledge in that if I really wanted to take myself further and avoid injuries, which I had just gotten through, I needed to hire somebody who really knew what they were doing to lead me and guide me. And that's when I met and started training with Brian McCabe of Body Sculpt Fitness.
Body Sculpt,
Brian! Yep. Brian. Good old Brian, finding all these winners.
Yeah, from being in gyms, from being a gym rat all these years, I've seen it all. I've seen really good trainers. I've seen really bad trainers. I know who knows their stuff. I know who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately, Brian, from our first conversation, from watching him with other clients, I knew this is absolutely my guy, and it has been an awesome ride. It's been 2 years now that I've been training with Brian, and I can't even tell you how my strength has increased. Again, my body has transformed, and I just feel better about myself and more confident than ever.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, you can't put a price tag on that.
Absolutely not.
And
well, it's kind of cool.
He
is, absolutely, absolutely. It's kind of cool listening to you speak about all the different roads you've been with fitness, because as an individual who's been into fitness for a while myself, like, and for anyone just starting out, there's always, like, the perfect thing, and, you know, like you said, the fads, but you were speaking of these things years ago before they even had a name to them, because really fitness gets recycled. And now that people can make money off of names, it's perfect to say, okay, so you're naming, you know, the few names that you named what they are now, but it's really the same thing that's been going on for all these years.
Absolutely.
It's just like, oh, well, we can make this much money off of it, selling videos and opening up a spot. So it's kind of cool that you've been through all this, and you've respect, like you said, you've respected your body to know what it needs. And if taking a lesson from that for anyone is very important, because we lose a lot of respect for body, whether it's, you know, the high intensity when our body's like, you have to rest, you know, the not sleeping, which I'm guilty of myself, but you know, doing all these things, and thank you for maybe intentionally, non-intentionally, or unintentionally reaching on that point.
So, really learning proper nutrition is so essential as well, and that's something that Brian was really able to help me with as well, because I fell in the trap of just, you know, not eating enough to sustain this incredible level of energy that I'm out, you know, this output of energy every single day. You know, you've got to feed that. And, you know, I think that I was too deficient in my calories. And, you know, when Brian really opened my eyes, what is proper nutrition to train like this? You know, again, I just saw my body respond in all positive ways, you know.
Carbs!
Carbs are
not right.
An enemy.
that's so funny. Well, so that is an amazing journey in fitness that you've had. And you've experienced so much, and maybe, you know, just as much, if not more, than some of the individuals we've talked to, or at least different aspects of it.
Can I ask something? Well, just make a statement.
Sure.
Okay, because I'm loving that that you guys brought about Brian and how he approached it, because I think one of the biggest deficiencies that were brought in by you know, men helping train women was that some of the guys really had an idea of what they wanted the women to look like, and not what the woman's actual potential would be.
And that's so
true. Brian never thought that way. He's always wanting to get the best of the person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's totally in sync with you and what your goals are, and you know, it's all kept in a realistic plane, and you know, great care is taken to make sure that people aren't getting injured. You know, it's just, I just feel like this is such an important part of my life. For me to, like, sort of give the keys to someone else and let them drive is a huge vote of confidence. And, you know, again, it just shows how I feel about, you know, Brian and what he's done, because this is an important thing. This is a huge part of my life. And for me to entrust it to someone else was a big step. And it was a great step because, again, it's just been a great, great process.
Yeah, and he's, you know, just as any trainer, they're their own business card, and not just the way they look, but, and it's not even how they look, it's how they look, it's how their clients, but when you see them and how they treat them and what they're doing with them and that whole package. And so you're absolutely right. Team Body Sculpt has all that going on for sure. And it's, and you can see it in the way that you're all acting around one another and acting within the group of individuals of you guys, and it's great to watch and see that when I'm in the gym myself.
It's an incredible team. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that's another major part of the draw, you know, to be on, you know, this team with these incredible women. I mean, so strong, physically, mentally, successful. It's just very cool to be in their presence, and I've made such great friends through this whole process, too. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's just been incredibly valuable on every level.
I can imagine.
That's pretty special.
Which one of you guys is next on the magazine cover?
I'm sorry?
What?
I say, which one of you guys is going to be the next one on the magazine cover? Because, I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the whole. I think the whole team's going to be on the magazine cover. Are you kidding me?
Well,
yeah,
you
right.
got the photographer that can pull that off. I can tell you that.
Betcha.
Yes,
you betcha.
Yeah.
I know the guy that can do that.
Oh. Absolutely. Will's been spectacular with all that. It's been great.
So, I mean, just to get back to, like, sort of this whole fitness journey and you know,
mm-hmm.
constantly striving to become stronger and, you know, just enjoying that whole process, you know, along the way, sort of the hiccup that you mentioned earlier
yeah.
in terms of my illness being diagnosed, that all came about, you know, as I was already
yeah.
well into my whole fitness, you know, focus and just falling in love with that whole challenge every day. And feeling fairly in
yeah.
tune with my body. So when I was on a special project at work that was really high profile, high intensity, huge honor to be picked to do it. However, just an unbelievable workload. And I was traveling every week for 18 months. So absolutely on the
wow.
road. Totally, you know, my whole regular schedule was, you know, just turned upside down. And as much as I would still work out when I was on the road, you know, in hotel gyms or local gyms that I could find, and I'd buy my own groceries, it's still not the same thing from, you
That's
know,
right.
my normal protocol. And then I would just be working round the clock, you know, on planes all the time, not sleeping. And, you know, looking back, I now can recall that I was sick a lot of the time when I'm never sick. I don't even get like a head cold ever. You know, I was worn down, and you know, now that I can kind of see all of that, but it wasn't an option
yeah.
to let up. There was a lot of work that needed to get done in a finite period of time, so I just forged ahead and really didn't think much about it until I was off the project back in Chicago about 2 months after I got back 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed just a small painless lump under my arm, probably the size of a gumball, and really felt sort of just embarrassed to even go to the doctor. Like, this is really an overreaction to have this checked out, like an abundant
yeah.
caution. But you know what? I come from a family of docs, and, you know, I want to do the responsible thing here. So
yeah,
went into my internist, you know, like, you know, what do you think this is? Like an enlarged sweat gland or something? What, you know, expecting him to
yeah.
be laughed off. Well, instead he was on the phone scheduling me for a battery of tests the very next day,
yeah.
Which went from one to the next, and ultimately at the end of that day, a biopsy, because they just didn't like how any of the tests were coming back. And it was shortly thereafter
okay.
that I found out that I had follicular lymphoma. And, you know, for people that don't know what lymphoma is, it's like leukemia. It's a blood cancer instead of a solid cancer or tumor. And there's a lot of different types of lymphoma even. So
mm-hmm.
follicular happens to be a very indolent, which is a slow growth type of cancer. However, it is incurable. So it's a chronic state that, you know, just needs to be managed. So after that was diagnosed, we needed to go through all the staging exams to figure how widespread it was, you know, in my body. The test came back
mm-hmm.
that I had enlarged lymph nodes both above and below the diaphragm, which led to the stage 3 diagnosis. So at that point, I met with the top, you know, and have retained the top oncologist for lymphoma in the city, who advised that we do a watch and wait protocol, which is sort of a
okay.
shock when you just get diagnosed with cancer that
happens
to be throughout
say.
Your whole body, and you're told by the
yeah.
guy in the field, let's just wait.
Yeah, how about it,
this.
Right?
Oh,
yeah,
my
very,
God.
Very odd sensation, especially for me. I'm a very type A personality. I mean, if I've got a problem,
mm-hmm.
I want to set my strategy, and I want to go attack it. And this
mm-hmm.
is the biggest challenge of my life, and I'm being told
especially
to
on that
watch
level.
And wait. it's just it was a hard thing to grasp, but I trusted in the advice I was being given. And, you know, who wants to introduce horrible drugs into their system if they don't have to? So, you know, I was also hopeful that maybe I could put that off. So, you know, as we were doing this watch and wait protocol, I just did everything I could. I already ate so, you know, healthfully and clean and out and try, you know, it's like, how is this happening to me? But you know what? None of us are bulletproof. You know, we all have some types of disease that are within our genetic makeup. And when our immune system is compromised for a prolonged period of time, like what happened with me, these diseases tend to fire. So, you know, I read everything that I could about it. And, you know, with this being a slow growth sort of, you know, cancer, I felt like, well, maybe I can get my immune system back to full health and it can do its thing. Do the body is meant to fight disease, right? That's a beautiful machine. It's a beautiful thing what it does. So if I can just feed that and provide that environment for my immune system to really fully kick back into gear, maybe I can kind of get myself healthy. So, you know, read all about, you know, what types of foods cause inflammation, really took all of those out of my diet, things like sugar and processed foods. And, you know, was really cognizant of that and tried to get really good restful sleep, you know, did some acupuncture to help calm myself down. And just really focused on strengthening that immune system. So every 3 months I would go in and have, you know, CT scans, blood work, physical exams, and we'd watch the growth pattern of these tumors. And at first they sort of grew, and then the second round, some of them actually decreased in size. And that was just like the world to me, to see that happen. It's like, okay, this is starting to work. And then, you know, I kept seeing good progress. It was almost like balloons were, like, popping. And it was just, like, the cool feeling to go in and see my doctor and hear that I was progressing in a positive manner. And then 18 months after I was diagnosed, I was actually declared to be in spontaneous remission, which means you know, there's no drug therapy, no drug interaction. It's strictly your body doing what it was meant to do and fighting back the disease. So that's where I stand to this day. And I mean, I will forever be fighting the fight. It's chronic, it's incurable, but to this date, I'm still in remission. And, you know, I plan to keep that up as long as I can.
Absolutely. Was there any, you said that you had, you know, because that was one of the questions I was going to ask, like, as far as like the superfoods that they talk about and things like that. So were there a lot of different nutritional things or herbs or plants that you added to that? Now, are you, you're not a vegetarian or?
No, I'm not.
Stick with plants?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, you know, it's so, I actually looked into all of that, and you know, there's a lot of studies done on turmeric being like this incredible, you know, especially for, cancer fighting. So that I introduced in my diet, you know, absolutely. And I continue to learn about those things and add them to my regular, you know, protocol.
It's amazing what plants can do.
Yes. Yes.
That's, and do you feel as though any symptoms, is there anything lingering from that, or are you like living every day like normal?
I've never felt sick. I feel like I have the cancer without the disease. I've never felt sick a day in my life.
Wow.
I mean, looking back in those 18 months when I was working like crazy, of course I was tired, I was fatigued, and I was getting sick more often, but you would expect that from that kind of, you know, change in schedule and lifestyle.
Totally.
But I never felt horribly ill, you know. I never, especially after I was off the project and back at my regular, you know, lifestyle, I never felt sick, you know. And it's unbelievably frightening to receive this kind of diagnosis, and it, you know, to be able to pick yourself up. You know, and I'm just not, I've never felt that kind of desperation before. I've never felt that, and it was horrifying.
Yeah.
And I just can't. I feel for people that have to experience that or have it on a regular basis. I couldn't. I literally, after 24 hours, I was like, I got to just move forward and focus on the things that I can do. And, you know, I had an incredible support system around me, friends, family, coworkers. I can't even tell you how people rallied around me. And then I started giving back and volunteering and raising funds. And I mentor for two different organizations, Immerman Angels and the Leukemia and Lymphoma
Immerman Angels, amazing.
I'm able to be a mentor for people that are diagnosed with the same kind of cancer. So as their head is spinning with this watch and wait protocol, I can help them understand how it was, you know, so beneficial for me to follow that and share my experience and answer their questions. And that one-on-one connection when somebody's at the most desperate time of their life, it's just, it's incredible. It's an incredible feeling to try to be of assistance in that hour.
Well, it sounds like you, there's a reason we go through everything in life, and you learn so much,
and I have, it's like fear. I'm really not fearful of anything anymore. Once you can hear a diagnosis like that and just move forward, there's not much that will faze you. You learn what's important.
Yeah.
You prioritize the right things. You focus on relationships, and you try to not sweat the small stuff. I can't say I'm perfect at it, but it just sets some pretty clear priorities really fast.
Amen to that.
Oh, that's good. Yep. Yeah. Seriously, the don't sweat the small stuff, right?
Right, right.
So, well, that is probably one of the best mindsets I've ever I've seen with that. And what a blessing to have you be able to bring that to anyone else that needs it. And because of who you are and how you can, you know, speak and communicate, that is even more important because individuals will listen and be inspired and know that they will be okay, you know. But it's very, like you said, you had that drive, and, you know, even the most tedious of things that you had to do, you're like, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to allow my body to do what it's supposed to do and stop and have respect for that and respect for my body. So that all comes full circle. And it's important. It's very, very important.
Absolutely.
Which brings you to, you know, and so through all that, so 5 years, so then you know, just making gains, and you met Brian how long ago?
So it was 2 years ago that I started training with him, and, you know, it's probably odd that, you know, somebody who's been hanging around gyms, strength training, totally focused on, you know, the lifestyle, never really thought about doing these competitions, you know.
Right.
Most people probably don't do their first one at 48 years of age, you know, when they've been kind of living that lifestyle for the past 20 years. And I will tell you, you know, it was a couple of things. Number one, the gym that, you know, my neighborhood gym that I train at, there's a lot of bodybuilders, a lot of power lifters. And, you know, I saw a lot of things that people did, you know, in terms of performance-enhancing drugs, you know, and
teach
their own. I'm not here to judge anybody else's behavior. I just know what is for me and what is not for me, and that was a total turnoff for me. And my assumption was just that all of bodybuilding and figure involved that, because I just didn't know. So I'd have so many people try to encourage me to compete and, you know, tell me all the reasons why I would do great. And I never even considered it because I was so turned off by some of the things that I had seen. And then, so through meeting Brian and him giving me the whole education about, no, there's natural leagues, you know, they're drug tested. I mean, it's the real deal. You know, it kind of opened my eyes. And I still wasn't sold by any means. But, you know, then some of my teammates, you know, compete and being there cheering them on, you know, I was sort of like, you know what? I might as well just give this a try myself, you know. So, you know, I had been on the team for a year before I did my first competition, which was last April. I did the Illinois State. And I just liked the whole experience of training towards a goal, having incredible coaching and guidance from Brian. I knew exactly what was going to happen on stage. I was never, you know, left up there not knowing what to do. Felt totally confident in control. Certainly still tons to learn, but I felt really good about my whole first experience. And I was there with my teammates, which was, you know, so cool to be supporting each other. So I couldn't have had a better first experience at my first show. And so then I did another show that year, and then this year I just did the Illinois State again, which was another great experience.
Yes, and I would say I saw that show. That was, it's growing and it's getting better. And that's what the INBA, and it is definitely
growing and becoming. He's done a great job of doing well with that show. So we're Absolutely. Looking forward to the North American this
North
year,
American. That's going to be a big show.
That's going to be sick.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's exciting. Now, you're going to be a part of that one, right, Sue?
Yes. I am planning to compete in that one.
Good. It'll be fun to share a stage with you for sure.
It's just interesting. You learn so much with each experience. You know, for me, this last round was all about feeling more comfortable on stage, really focusing on posing, and I just felt better about it all. So it was a comfortable feeling on stage. I enjoyed it more than I had before. So I kind of just want to keep moving the needle on that and keep seeing, you know, how far I can go.
So did you have inspiration? I mean, obviously you had, you know, Brian who's just like, hey, do it, and your teammates. So was that kind of where your inspiration came from, was watching your teammates then?
100%. Because like I said, this is something that, you know, had been brought up to me a million times throughout the years, and I never honestly considered it. But, you know, when you start seeing people that you're really close to kind of going through the whole process and, you know, kind of growing and learning, you don't want to sit on the sidelines. You want in. You want to be on that stage too. So
I'm
all about supporting.
I think that goes to Brian's attitude and the attitude that portrays from the team, because, you know, it's infectious.
Yes, it absolutely is. And I'm telling you, for a year I was like, well, Brian, I'll keep an open mind, but I'm not seeing this. And it just kept growing on me, and I'm like, well, why not? You know, why, you should always try something at least once, right? Well, when was the last time you did something for the first time? I'm like, so let's do this for the first time. And it was a great experience. Perfect. So, I intend to keep moving forward with it and keep learning and just having fun with it more than anything.
Yeah. Do you have anyone that you, well, because once you got involved with this, you kind of start picking up friends, you know, on Facebook and life, like you start following things. Are there any women or men or whoever that you follow or that you keep a close eye on to get any kind of, not tips or anything, but just to look at to see what they're doing and how the industry is changing
I
at all?
I keep an eye out, you know, on everything, because I feel like, you know, no one person knows everything. You know, you can learn from everyone. So I actually, there's no one in particular that stands out. But, you know, I look at, you know, prep coaches and some of the protocols that they use that I think are really responsible, because there's a lot of irresponsible stuff going on out there.
Absolutely.
The industry that I saw from afar, that it was such a turnoff, you know, girls completely depleting themselves and destroying their metabolism, and it's just nothing is worth that, you know, but there's a helpful way to do this. So, you know, I'm always looking towards, you know, the coaches that really know what they're doing, you know, and, you know, the competitors that are really embodying that, you know, that's what I respond to, because more than anything, I want to be strong and I want to be healthy. And, you know, having a fit athletic body, that's great, but to me, that's so secondary in my motivation.
Mm-hmm. Did your family and friends, was everyone very supportive of this, or were they kind of like, oh, you're going to come out looking like, were they kind of like off about it at first when you told, or did you not really talk about it?
No, because I've always been so athletic and so into training and working out and trying new things. And usually competitions were more based on, you know, like, you know, an endurance competition, you know, or, you know, 5K, 10K, or like, you know, the Warrior Dash obstacle course, you know, that kind of stuff I always get involved in. So they were more used to me doing that kind of thing. But, you know, they know that anything that has to do with, you know, training and fitness is something that's going to be on my radar. So, no, they weren't surprised.
Right.
They're absolutely supportive and attend the shows and cheer me on. So,
perfect.
Yeah. And, you know, we share the lifestyle. I mean, my family is – you know, very health-minded. My parents go to their local health club every single day. My mom is actually a beast in the gym. She just turned 77.
Dang.
And she can deadlift 220 and squat 185. So I'm just saying, your body is an amazing thing. if you treat it well,
seriously,
you know, and you know what you're doing, you can live this lifestyle as long as you want to, and that's really what I want to do. It's all about sustainability.
Well, where is she in these competitions? Why doesn't she get started?
Well, she's actually done powerlifting competitions, believe that or not. And she's a tiny little 500-pound thing. And I will tell you, people see us in public, and they say, oh, you've got to be mother-daughter. Not because we have the same smile or the same eyes, because we have the same delts.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I'm not kidding.
That is the best thing I've ever heard.
It's crazy.
So
we all really just embrace this kind of lifestyle and support each other, and you know. So no, they were absolutely on board from the get go.
I can't wait to meet them. She sounds great. So we know that you did three. What would be some things, like, so you've done these two shows. Are you going to stick with the IMBU PMBA? What is your kind of, if you have plans, do you want to branch out? Do you want to see how far you can go? You've got this bug. Is there a limit to how many shows you want to do a year? What's kind of your plan with this new adventure of yours?
You know what? I don't know that I have, you know, some absolute plan in mind with it. I think that I've met some incredible people, and you know, I've had some great experiences. And like I said, I train like this anyway. You know, I sort of, you know, eat like this anyway. I'm living the lifestyle. I might as well,
right?
If I'm having fun with it. You know, but I would always just opt for natural leagues. I wouldn't be involved with anything other than that. And you know, And again, I'm new to this, but from a newbie's perspective, it seems like we've got a lot of smaller natural leagues. It would be nice to see a consolidation of that industry to just build a powerhouse, you know,
absolutely,
and just really make that a force and have a governing body and just really embolden that, you know, this whole entity that we're all a part of here.
And it's true. You're absolutely, that's such a valid point, because it is, they are so small, and they're becoming, and everyone wants to do this now because it's the natural, the testing. I wasn't aware of how many things were not allowed and how many different federations that this is allowed, but that's not, and this is allowed, but that's not. And having them all come together to have one, like, strict rule of, like, okay, so that people can kind of compete in and out, and like you said, having that governing body to be like, all right, because there's great cities. Chicago is one of those cities, just like Vegas and Miami, that there is, it's such a hub. It's, you know, we've got airports, we've got things to do, and to have them close to home or you know, traveling in between, it can be so huge. We can get the 300 people, you know, and we have the room and the facilities for that.
Right.
So I think that's a very valid point in having that, because it would make it special.
Right. And how many people are like me all these years? I never realized that there were natural leagues. You know, I never knew the distinction, you know. I lumped everything in to the big name that everybody knows, you know, and I thought that every league was like that, and I didn't like what I saw. So, you know, it would just create such an opportunity to educate people that don't even know that there's these great options.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that this aspect of getting it out here with the P4P, the blog talk, and being able to talk about with all these different stories of how successful people can be by, and is it tedious? Is it hard work? Absolutely, it's hard work, because you know, the timing, the, you know, when you eat this, when you eat that, the working out, how hard you can push yourself, having the people to push you and to get greater and to get better and to be able to do that with, you know, in a natural way. And there is a way to do that. And it's very intense and very special to those people that can do it.
Right.
So it's a great league to be a part of. And I hope we can
There's also one thing that I'd like to touch on, and you know, she had brought it up earlier, and that's diet. You know, and as much as we like to do in the gym, there's a lot of food that's just simply not healthy, and it is part of American culture. And it is damaging to the body. You know, it does put strain where there shouldn't be. And, you know, our internal organs get a hell of a workout just off of what we eat.
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
Without a doubt. And, you know, it's like there's people that care more about the fuel they put in their car than their own bodies. And it's just, you know, learning to read nutritional labels and, you know, just how the body responds to sugars. And it's just, it's an education that needs to get out there. And it's just, there's not enough awareness overall.
And starting being aware of it as a younger age, too, because we're in our, you know, 30s, 40s, and we're, like, thinking about this now. But imagine, you know, reaching, kids get into this industry at, you know, 18, 19, and that's when so many changes are happening. You've got
But that's
all
also when a lot of the bad information gets out there. You know, they get that.
Definitely,
like,
because you can eat anything.
If we look at how the information, like the infomercials, just everything that is done is manufactured strictly to catch them at an age where they are willing to, you know, to branch out and try or take risks that basically end up hurting them, you know, later down the line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember 16, 17, you know, I was working out of a facility that we get all the new supplements. Ephedrine was big then, all that stuff. So at 17 years old, here I am taking, I didn't need it, but I was also like not eating right or anything else. But let me just pop ephedrine because I'm not sleeping anyway. So instead of being tired, and here comes that cycle now of like the diet pills and the this and that. You know, at 30 years old, 28 years old, my nutritionist is telling me that I've got such bad adrenal fatigue that I'm up at 4:35 a.m. and my body's ready to go back to sleep at 11 a.m. It has nothing
That's
to
right.
It has not so much to do with what I'm doing now, but years and years of abusing and just
of
being
abuse.
Like, well, you know, they put it out there. Yeah. So absolutely.
I mean, you cause that kind of metabolic damage, it absolutely can take years to repair.
Yes.
You know, the hormonal consequences. Yeah, it's just very, very dangerous, and there's just not enough educating going on, you know, whether somebody's a competitor or a potential competitor or just, you know, an average adult.
It's just normal. And it's the natural league is starting to really hone in on everything, like things that you were just like, whatever, diuretic. There's just so many different things that are found normally on any shelf of any health food store or, you know, quote-unquote health food store that you can find. That's just a bottle sitting there. It's so many of this stuff is being recalled, is being taken out because it's just messing up our systems. When you can get that same result with our food and our timing and so many other aspects of it, you know?
Yeah. Right,
so, absolutely. And it's...
I mean, honestly, guys, think about this. When did you ever think that good health and fitness would be counterculture? Because, you know, when we get healthy, people are asking us, are we sick?
That's so true. I mean, yeah, yes. I had someone, one of my clients was talking to me about, she's at the gym and she had somebody come up to her. She's an actual competitor. In her 40s, and some guy comes up and is like, what are you taking? And she's like, what do you mean, what am I taking? Like, she was, like, astounded that someone would ask her that, and he's like, you know, come on, you know, what are you taking? And it's like, we're this culture of seeing these bodies and being like, okay, there's something being taken, and it's comical, but it's not, because in different aspects it's true. Maybe at a different time or in some places it's true, but getting to that point where we can just be like, wow, she's taking food and she's taking, you know, the regular, like, vitamins
right?
or whatever.
She's eating.
It's like, I took a sweet potato 20 minutes ago, but that's about it. But it's a great way to learn and you know, I'm sure throughout these years, you start at one point and the excitement you see when you add this or you change this or the changes it can have on your physique, it's exciting. You're like, okay, what can I do now? And it keeps you going.
Absolutely. you know, you're feeling stronger, you're feeling more energetic, more confident, and it just, it transfers over into every aspect of your life, you know. The job all of a sudden is going better, my relationships are better, just because I feel better about myself, respecting that. And, you know, it's no surprise that everything else kind of falls into place, too. So, you know, it all works
together. Funny how that works, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, do you have a specific schedule? It sounds like, obviously, you've been consistent on keeping workout as part of your day. Now, do you travel a lot for work?
I don't travel for work anymore, which is great. So I can kind of keep a pretty regular schedule. And I train with Brian 3 times a week. And then I take his conditioning class, Phaedra, that you take too. And then I belong actually to a couple of gyms because I just like to mix up my environment. You know, when you're doing it every day, it's kind of nice. You know, there's a neighborhood independent gym that's near me that is great. And a lot of really serious lifters that know what they're doing, and it's fun to surround yourself with them. And then, you know, the gym, an sport that I've been a member at for almost 20 years that has just the most incredible free weight room in the city. And like I said, a lot of serious bodybuilders, power lifters. So, you know, I kind of divide my time, you know, across, you know, Hi-Fi, X-Sport, and then this neighborhood gym.
Great gym. Hi-Fi is great gym.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
It is. Our colorful array of fitness we have in there. Now, with that, and going to the gym every day and doing this for as long as you have now, that you are up on stage, always, always improving on something, what areas, if you don't mind me asking, are there any areas that you have that you're like, you know, I want bigger selves, or I'd like to have this? Is there something that you are going to be working on to try to improve or for the next show the next time?
I think more than anything, just stage presence, continuing to work on that, posing. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of, you know, physically, I just want to get stronger and fitter. And, you know, I feel like the look will be what it is. But if I just kind of focus on the strength aspect, you know, that's what I really enjoy. That's what's really empowering to me. And then sort of how it looks is sort of like, you know, okay, that's the gravy or the icing. You know, so I guess I focus more on this, just setting goals for just how I can be more athletic in the gym, gain strength, try different things, challenge my body in new ways. But also what I can really control is, you know, that whole stage presence and really working on the posing and how to best accentuate my best features, you know, and hide the bad stuff.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so continuing to work on all of that is, you know, a never-ending process.
Absolutely. And posing, I find I respect the figure portion so much, because posing is it's so intricate, and it's a beautiful thing to watch when someone is doing it and they have that flow and they're able to open up their lats in a certain way and then, you know, nice and smoothly move. And that's a wonderful aspect to improve on and to get better, because it's something that you can always learn, and you feel it and you're like, oh, so that's going to make that look like that. And you fake it. And there's so many shapes that you can fake when you pose. So it's a great thing to definitely work on.
I was so horrible at it. And ask Brian, he will tell you. I mean, it was laughable to see me in my first, you know, some of the first posing pictures that he snapped. I mean, I just had no idea what I was doing. I'd never done anything or imagined myself. And, you know,
it's
so unnatural. And figuring out the lat spread, I mean, that I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm like, Brian, have we figured it out? We're just not talking about it anymore. So, you know, a lot of it is counterintuitive, and you've never really held your body that way before. And so that, believe me, was all a process for me. And I was just, I struggled mightily with it. But, you know, I like a challenge, you know. And like my favorite quote is, you know, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And, you know, and that's for any aspect of your life, whether in the gym, training, or facing like a difficult obstacle in your life, you know, it's like if you attack that head on, you know, you may fail, you may win, but you will grow from it. And more often when you fail is when you grow the most. So I'm just a big advocate of making yourself uncomfortable, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. And this whole competing thing, believe me, I could be more of a fish out of water and more uncomfortable. It's just not, it's really not how I'm wired. So I am proud of myself for pushing myself out there.
My dad always used to tell me the worst place to be in any part of life is content. And I get what he meant now. It does make a difference to be out of that comfort zone.
Right. That's where you achieve growth. And, you know, that's what really shapes our integrity and who we are and our character. And so, you know, I think it's a good mantra, you know, especially when you're dealing with something that feels like it's bringing you to your knees. But if you can just have the strength to see it through, you'll come out the other side. Again, even when you ultimately fail sometimes, you know, a better human being for it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really failure.
Absolutely.
It's learning.
Say that again. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I said it's not really failure. It's just learning.
Yep.
Yep, absolutely.
That's when you fail, when you just quit. That's failure.
Yeah, that's the ultimate failure, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would think so. Because you either win or learn, and so it's never really failing.
That's right.
Yeah, one or the other. So it's kind of a good thing either way.
This was a great show. This was a great show. Time just blew by. My goodness.
She's one of those individuals, and I had seen her around, you know, I see her on Hi-Fi a lot, and your poise and your energy and just your focus and dedication there, it's something that I was drawn to right away. And I have the most amazing women in my life and some pretty cool guys too, but I needed her in my life. And so being introduced and having that, I feel once again blessed to have another beautiful and fantastic woman to look up to and to learn from.
Well, I appreciate it. And right back at you. And it's like, we're just so lucky to have a place like Hi-Fi that has like such amazing, inspirational folks all around us, you know, and it's, you just get good energy from them. You learn from them, and it's a real camaraderie. You know, there's a special vibe at that place that you just can't manufacture. It's organic, and it just happens over a period of years, and just, you know, the right group of people. And it's
definitely
cool. I feel it every time I walk in there, and I love it. I'm addicted to
it. Well, Drew and Greg Shipp, who own Hi-Fi, that's one thing, for the years that I've known them, that's one thing that they definitely want, is they want the positive energy. And, you know, with a gym that size, with so many different individuals, we're all out to be, we all own our own business there. So it's a training gym. Every individual basically owns their business, and they bring it to a large facility, and we all make it special. But they struggle. A positive and good place for people to come and work out, and you know, they do a really good job at that. They're fun, they're funny, and they do care, you know, with the deepest heart of hearts, they care. And I think that's a very special thing, is they don't just care about like the business. That's obvious, you have to, but they care about the people in the business.
I mean, the environment, it all comes from them, you know, it all starts with them, and then it just kind of trickles down to all the trainers and their clients, and it's just, it's a fun thing to be a part of. I'm so glad and feel so fortunate to be a part of it.
Well, we are glad that you are a part of that, and Brian brought himself and his team there to
because it's really, you can see it growing, you know, and you can see he's brought some great things into the facility as well. And we all are trying to do that. And it's great that you being, as a client, coming in there and feeling that, because that's important, that feedback's important. And and anything else, too, that you would like to let us in on?
No, that's about it. It's been an incredible opportunity to chat, so I really appreciate the time, Phaedra and Kaylin, and, I'm honored to have been asked to chat tonight.
Oh, we are honored to have you. We loved speaking with you and chatting with you on a level that just, you brought out so much, and I learned a lot, and it's great having the opportunity to just get to know you that much more and having other people out there get to know you as well, and hopefully feel a little bit better in their own situations. We all have our own situations, whether it be something that we're dealing with, like cancer or whatever else, but have someone to be able to be like, wow, she did it. And, you know, because we all listen to certain things or see certain things or hear certain things at the precise moment we need to. So your story, I hope and I know, has reached somebody, even if one person, at a time that they need to hear it, and that's what's important.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. And, Kaylin, I will be back. I will not be back next Thursday, but in 2 weeks, we'll have Lori Hess, and we'll be chatting with her a little bit about some pretty cool stuff, and a lot to do with bikini figure and being a mother and doing competition. So we've got some cool shows, but you will be hosting next Thursday. And
yeah. Can I put the plug out there for us?
You put the plug out, babe.
Okay, I have, for Tuesday and Thursday, I have two special people. Sarah Stallman, who is a competitor, but she's also a singer, a dancer, a model. She's done basically boat line cruises and tours. She does that kind of entertainment and just like an overall energetic person. And then we have Marco Foster, which is basically Mr. Chicago, just all kind of events that he does. And, he's a brain tumor survivor. So, it'll be nice to chat it up with both of them. And like you said, just to show people that, it's not the end of the road when you have that dark, tunnel that you're stuck in. And basically the light goes out, but as long as you keep moving, there's going to be that light at the other side that basically gets you to where you needed to be in the first place. And it's so many trials we go through in life. And these two have made a success story from both sides of it. And just like what we've had tonight. So I'm just, it's such a blessing to have this this venue and this opportunity just to even talk to people and share with this, because honestly, I learned so much tonight. It's really something when you see the growth of people, not just, I don't want to talk about muscle. I mean, muscle's nice, but when you see the mind grow and then the body follow suit, that's when it's special.
It is. It really starts with the inside. No matter what changes you're making and whatever changes on the outside you want to make, it really has to change with the inside for sure.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yes.
So again, thank you. Wonderful.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Absolutely. You guys have a wonderful night, and we will talk to you next week on P4P Real Talk. Good night.
Good night.